Our text today is found in Psalm 92, verse 10 in the Bible. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. We're going to talk about a fresh touch this morning. You probably don't need a new marriage, and you probably don't need a new church, and you probably don't need a new place of business, and you probably don't need to move to Vancouver. You probably need a fresh touch from God. Did you know, living in this world, we're leaky vessels, we get dry, things happen, reversals of fortune come to us, but you know, usually we just need a fresh touch from God in order to turn everything around. Did you know the Holy Spirit in the Bible is likened to, there are various symbols for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God who works all things is seen as water who cleanses. There are images of wind where he comes like a mighty wind. But the most prevalent image and symbol of the Holy Spirit is oil. Just imagine some of that olive oil on your fingers when you're cooking. We're going to look at some traits of oil because we all need a fresh touch. Everything in the Bible that God would use, he would anoint with oil. Did you know in the wilderness when the tabernacle was built, that later became the temple, every piece of the tabernacle was anointed with oil. All the furnishings, including the Ark of the Covenant that God would use, was anointed with oil. The priests in the Old Testament, before they would be used in service, had to be anointed with oil. The offerings that were offered in the Jewish temple every day were mixed with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is beaten. It is a result of first crushing. Did you know that everybody wants the oil, but nobody wants the crushing? Come on, someone say amen. You can't buy oil. Your oil and your anointing from your life comes from your own personal crushing. You can't get it from daddy. You can't get it from mom. You can't go to a 15-week oil seminar and come back with a bucket. You get your own through the crushing of your own life. Did you know that? You got to crush an olive to get the oil. And we go over to Israel and we saw Gethsemane. Not only do they grind it and crush the olives first until they're an unrecognizable mass of just mush, just pulp, then they take all that gunk of the crushing and they put it in pressing containers and then they press the oil. And then in the temple, they used beaten oil. It's the imagery of something so beautiful, but something that's come out of a horrendous, nasty crushing. You cannot get wine without crushing the grape. There's no fancy way to do it. That's the process that's going on in our lives. So we need a fresh touch from God today. It is going to be likened unto oil, but I want you to notice in your life right now, whatever your crushing has been, that is the point of your ministry. Wherever your pain has been in your childhood or in your life, that is the identifier of what you're called to do because your oil comes out of your own crushing. You know, I just wish you could be crushed for me to get my oil. I'd pray for you in Jesus' name and say, Lord, crush him. God, crush her. And then I just come pick up the oil. It doesn't work that way. Your oil comes from your crushing. That means your call in life, what God's called you to do, the oil of your life comes through the bad things that you've survived. The reversals, the setbacks, the losses. And if you haven't had those, hold on. They're right up ahead. You're either going in the tunnel, in the middle of the tunnel, or just coming out of the tunnel. And nobody's exempt. When those olives start crushing, it's like, hey, what's that? I didn't want that. I didn't pray for that. I didn't seek that. That's called, little olive, the crushing. And once that starts, that stuff is then taken and pressed. And pressure then eventually produces just a little bit of oil. You know, when I was young, I used to pray things like, Lord, use me in an unparalleled way above all in my generation. And God goes, okay, good prayer. Into the vat. Come on, little olive. See, olives want to stay intact. Do you ever notice that? We're self-protective olives. We want the oil to be extracted miraculously some other way. And God goes, there's no other way, baby. Yeah, you've had oil, but it's somebody else's. You're putting on people. When yours comes, it comes through you. and your crushing. Now, I don't care. Crushing doesn't have to mean personal sin. It could just mean doing life like Job was doing. But God wants to give a fresh touch. Here's the good news. He will give us a fresh touch. He will anoint us with fresh oil. Notice what David said. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Why was oil so important? Because everything God ever uses has to be anointed with it. Look at some of the characteristics. Oil, being a liquid, evaporates. That's the first truth about, did you know? It's a liquid, it evaporates. We're leaky vessels. You know, the anointing oil or touch from God we had yesterday is not enough to carry us through today. We have to have fresh bread and fresh manna every day. So oil tends to evaporate. So we need a constant fresh touch, all right? Your worst enemy is the last thing God did for you. The last book you wrote, last album you made, last person you touched. That's your biggest enemy. Because yesterday's gone. We need fresh oil today because it evaporates. Did you know? Do you need a fresh touch today? I need a fresh touch every day. I can't buy my oil by the week. I have to get daily bread, just like you do. Every day I've got to get up and do life and make the right decisions and choose to do the next right thing. And because oil evaporates in Craig Johnson's life real quick. You know, the Holy Spirit was so strong on him the other week. Yeah, it was a week ago. Well, I've got to just belly up to the bar and I've got to stay under God's anointing oil all the time and say, Lord, come on, fresh touch. Oil, being a liquid, evaporates. But second, oil escapes if there are any cracks in the vessel. Ooh, you know, we're all leaky vessels. We're all broken vessels. We're all cracked somewhere. See, you may not, your vessel may look really good, but there's a crack in that thing somewhere. And all we got to do is pour some liquid into it. And eventually it's going to drip out and we're going to say, I think you're losing oil, sister. Brother, you're losing oil over here. We are cracked vessels. So we need a constant fresh infilling of oil. And this is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, a daily touch from God. And he's going to give us a touch today. See, he won't always answer why when you ask him, why did that happen? But he will always answer what. He'll tell you the next right thing to do. He'll give you just enough oil to get to the next gas station. I told someone the other day, signs are not the destination. You realize that? You see a sign that says LA 30 miles. You're not in LA when you see a sign, but the sign lets you know you're going in the right direction. Have you ever been lost on the freeway? I got on a freeway and I was gone. I drove an hour and I had not seen a sign that told me where I was going, and I was freaking out. Not that I have any control issues at all when I'm driving. But you know how you start getting, and then it says next off-ramp, 560,000 miles. Did you remember there's a stretch of freeway out here where if you miss one off-ramp, you've got to drive into the future 10 years before you can do the U-turn. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm lost. I'm on a time crunch. And then I saw a sign that told me I was going in the right direction. I said, oh, thank God. See, sometimes God won't put you in the destination, but he'll show you a sign and he'll say, here's a hug, here's a fresh touch, fresh oil, keep going. You're going in the right direction. Once I saw that sign, I knew, oh, thank God. You know, at least I'm going in the right direction, all right? Yeah. Keep rowing. When I was in Israel, you know, they asked us to do little messages, and I did 16 programs that are going to start showing there. And one of them in Galilee is my favorite sermon, which is row in the power of the last word God gave you. The disciples were told by Jesus, go to the other side. They got into a boat and all hell let loose. But did you know when you're rowing, you just keep rowing in the power of the word God last gave you. You don't need a new word. Row in the power of the word he gave you. And as long as your little boat is pointing in the right direction, you're going to get to the other side. He didn't call you and lead you this long to drown you right now. God's going to kill me. Well, some of us have been praying for a long time, but that maybe that's witchcraft. No, you know what? If you're alive, there's hope. If you're alive and you're even pointed in the right direction, keep rowing in your little boat because the storms come and they go. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing, Martin Luther said. Come on. You're feeling the storms come and they go. You just keep rowing, honey. You just keep rowing. You'll come right through that season and you will get to the other side. God needs to give us a fresh touch, though. He doesn't always answer why, but he'll give us enough anointing to do the next what we're supposed to do, which is keep rowing. Keep rowing. In the power of the last word God gave you. I had a friend that went all around the church world every night to a different place trying to get a word from the Lord. And I said, why don't you try rowing in the power of the last word God gave you and obey that one? And maybe you don't need 30 more. Hey, I have more prophecies than are in the Bible over my life. Okay? But sometimes we don't need a new word. We need to row out the word God's already given us. Now, don't stop me there because I'll have to preach a whole different thing. Let me talk about oil. So it's a... I'll quit to preaching and go to meddling. And then we might be in danger of a stoning. I'll get through all these points. Don't worry, I'll get through all these points. I know them. Oil is a liquid. It evaporates. We need a fresh touch today. It escapes if there are any cracks. Third, fresh oil reduces friction. It's got, you know, that car oil you've got, it's got viscosity. It's got that capacity to just sort of, you know, when sheep are together a lot, there tends to be friction. Even in church, I know it's hard to believe there's friction between sheep. They just, but you know, just doing life and bumping up against people, there's friction. But you see, oil comes in, and when oil's applied, it reduces the friction. We need a fresh touch of oil today in our church so that we'll give one another extra grace in friction times. Is it truth or is it friction? It's probably friction, and it's probably you. And when you feel that friction coming up, we need oil. We need fresh oil. Yeah, but I got oil last Sunday. It's not going to hold because you're a leaky vessel and it evaporates. So it reduces friction. But fourth, fresh oil facilitates unity. How do you think they get all the sardines into that can? Oil. You ever seen a Trader Joe's? They've got those little oysters in a can and sardines in a can. And I don't like sardine. But doing the message, I did buy some. I thought, I'm going to give it one more try. And I got some in the middle of the night when I was hungry. I opened those suckers up and the oil teaching was lost on me. So was the smell in the house for the next half a day. Oil facilitates unity. You get oil involved, right? We'll get something together. We can get more sardines in a can with regard to unity. Psalm 133, 1 and 2 says, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for it is as the oil that flowed from Aaron the high priest's head all the way down into his garments. Did you know oil is an amazing type of the Holy Spirit? And we just need a fresh touch to reduce the friction, facilitate unity. But next, fresh oil has a sweet fragrance. In Song of Solomon 1:3, which, by the way, is a wonderful book. If you want to go read something that did make you blush, go read the Song of Solomon. And it's not just a supernatural love story between Christ and his church. It's actually talking about two lovers, okay? So it's just... Don't read that book, Pastor says. Okay, now that'll be on your list. Good. Whatever you do, don't read it. But you know, Song of Solomon 1:3 talks about the fragrance of oil. It makes you smell sweet. It uses the image of someone you're in love with that has an oil unguent kind of something, fragrance about it, whatever it is. It's a spritz or it's a perfume or it's, but there's a sweetness. Did you know when you're around people that have been anointed with fresh oil, they smell sweet? You can say you have mumps, but if you have measles, you communicate measles. You communicate what you are. If you have a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit and His oil, you're going to smell sweet. Do you ever notice that about perfume or cologne? You know my favorite, Abercrombie and Fitch, Fierce. It's right here. I just spritzed myself. And for those of you at home, there's one for you. Now, did you know what a fragrance does? It goes past your head and hijacks your heart. Have you ever noticed that? Some lady walks by. Now, you ladies know this, and it's a wicked deal, but you go walking by with some perfume, our backs are turning, we just go, I followed a lady out of a store just to ask her what that was. She had something on her wrist, you know, just under the whatever it was, and she put this thing on. I turned right around like that and walked out of the store, followed her out. Said, excuse me, what is that? And then she acted like she didn't know. What? I have something on? Well, did you know? And they never know what it is or where it is. I don't know. Somebody gave it to me in the 50s. It's like, okay, well, it's pretty good. wasn't being weird. I just wanted to know where you bought that fantastic. Fragrances bypass the head and they grab the heart. And there's some about a fresh touch on our lives of God's oil that makes us sweet. You know, you've been around Christians that are sweet. No, we all have our bad moments, but deep down, there's just something about them. That's oil. That's a fresh touch. That's somebody that's been in the presence of God. Come on. This is good, Pastor. Oh, I'm moving now towards your... Okay. Number six, fresh oil breaks the yokes of the enemy. Isaiah 10:27 says, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Did you know it's only a fresh touch from God that will pull the yokes of the enemy off? Do you know how it works? A yoke is like a huge, huge... You've seen the oxen walk around with those wooden yokes chafing their necks and that they're on real tight. God can pour enough oil under that yoke where it'll slip off. See, the yoke, you don't go after somebody's yoke or their personal sin and, you know, leverage your knee and just say, God, we're going to pull this yoke out. You'll break their neck. Pour enough oil on. Come on. Pour enough oil on. And that yoke will slip right off. Now, I collect ancient Roman things, and my little boy Grant, he's little, he's as tall as I am now, he's 15, but when he was little, he was the only kid at school with a 2,000-year-old Roman ring on his little finger. You could always see my kids from a distance. But his finger swelled up, and we had that little ring on his finger, and he goes into the nurse, and he goes, ah! He's showing the, guess what? She got a little bit of, what? You get a little soap, but you get a little oil. She had a little oil. Oil will pull a yoke off. Now, we could have sawn his finger off, I guess. You know, kids must obey. But you know, a little oil will go a long way to slip a yoke off a neck. Did you know you catch more bees with honey than you do vinegar? You know? So don't try to pull yokes off people. Pray for a fresh touch of oil and put that oil on them. They'll slip right off. Do you know most people don't want to be in the yoke they're in? They want a way out. So we're here to get a fresh touch and get some oil, and then we'll help them and their yokes slip off. Next, fresh oil softens and heals wounds. Isaiah 1:6 says that oil was used as a healing medicament. I mean, it would soften the wound, then it would start the healing inside the wound. Are you softening wounds, or are you just drying them out with a blow dryer when you're around people? I don't think your wound is dry and crusty enough. You know what I mean? Come on. You're either a blow dryer or you're somebody bringing a little oil that's going to soften the wound. I'm sure you haven't met any blow dryer people, have you? You know, my lips are really parched. When I was in Israel doing my first show, I completely ran out of fluid in my body. I was so dehydrated that my lip stuck on the top of my teeth like this. I mean, my lips were so parched, they were bleeding. I did not need someone with a blow dryer to dry them further. I needed some fresh oil, a lipstick, a cup of cold water, anything. So they managed, the TBN people got me a bottle of water. There was only one bottle of water, evidently, that day in Israel. And they had to go, and I got it. And it was expensive. Anywho. Fresh oil softens and heals wounds. Next! And I'll get them all done. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Fresh oil heals, cleanses, and equips for service. You know, when lepers were cleansed in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 14 through 18, you know what they used to do? They used to sacrifice the animal, and they would take the blood of the sacrifice, and they would touch the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe, and then they would take oil that had been crushed and beaten, and they would anoint that formerly unclean person, their right ear, their right thumb, and their right toe. Did you know we need God to anoint with a fresh touch our ears so we can hear Him? We can hear God. We need a fresh touch on our thumb so our hands can work about the work of the Lord in an empowered sense. We need a fresh touch on our foot so we walk in the ways of God. Look at how symbolic this oil was. They would put it so that you could hear in your ear, so that you could work effectively with your hands, and you could walk effectively with your feet. We need a fresh touch of oil today, and God will guide us. Your future is more important than your past. It doesn't matter where you've been. Today is a new beginning, and a fresh touch God will give you. You probably don't need a new marriage, and you probably don't need a new location. You probably don't need a new liposuction, and you probably need a fresh touch. Then maybe consider all those other things, okay? Amen. Oh, my God. There goes the offering right out the window. Next. Fresh oil illumines the things of God. Leviticus 24:2 points out that guess what fueled all the fire in Israel? All the lamps, oil. You know, they only had lamps. They didn't have electricity. I know we're biblically illiterate in the country, in the world, but they didn't have switches and electricity. They had little lamps full of beaten and crushed oil, and that became the fuel to the lamps in Israel. The most valuable thing in Israel was oil. And did you know in the temple when you went in, the interior of the temple was illuminated through oil. There was no earthly light allowed in that temple. God will illuminate by His Holy Spirit the work that He's doing in your life, and He'll help you understand what He's doing by giving you oil to illuminate. Did you know when your neighbors don't know what to tell you, God will illuminate His Word and open it up to you, and He'll tell you enough to know, to get on to the next step. Like I said, He may not tell you why, but He'll tell you what, and He'll illumine your path. Did you ever have one of those moments you didn't know where you were, you didn't know what was going on, and God gives you an illumination? Someone calls you with the right word at the right time. Someone writes you an email. That's the illumining oil of the Holy Spirit saying, here's enough light to take the next step. He won't show you enough light to take every step, but He'll illumine your path one step at a time. Now, I still want more light. That's just a personal problem I have with God. But He only gives me enough to take the next right step. But you know, that's enough, right? So you're trying to figure out how the bills are going to be paid and what the financial thing and the relationship thing and whatever your issue is, you're trying to figure it out right now. I appreciate that. But you know what? He'll give you enough illumined light to take the next right step. And that's all you need to do today. It's taken me 52 years to get to the place where I actually do the next right thing. And when the day is over and there's no other lives I can save because I'm just so good at it, that I have to say, the day is done. The next right thing is for me to get into bed. That's what I'm going to do. I can't control tomorrow. I can't control next week, but I can do the next right thing. So isn't it precious that the oil of God illumines the things of God? Next, fresh oil alone protects us from the enemy. Isaiah 21:5 says, rise up and anoint your shield. You know, the shields in ancient times were made of leather, and they were affixed to maybe some kind of wood, but they would get dry. And when you would go into battle, you would anoint your shield with fresh oil because, first of all, it moistens the thing up. Not that you need any moistening. I've been looking at you for 20 minutes. Anywho, but it moistened the shield, but then also it would cause those fiery darts that come in to slip off. And you know, the anointing oil and a fresh touch from God today is the only thing that's going to defend us against the fiery darts of the wicked. Because an old dry shield will burst into flames. Why, there's Sister So-and-so. She's on fire. Yep. Guess that shield wasn't anointed. There he goes. There goes the pastor again on fire. You know, God wants to re-anoint our shields so that when in the midst of battle, we aren't going up in flames. You know, when the gladiator thing comes over with the fire, you know, it won't be you burning. Maybe it should be. I don't know. I'm moving on quickly. So fresh oil next liberates us from fear and inhibition. You know, a fresh touch from God. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you see someone under the influence of alcohol, they'll say things they normally wouldn't say. They'll do things they normally wouldn't do. And God says, okay, you get the principle? Just put that under the spigot of my oil and get full of the Holy Spirit's oil. And in God, you'll say some things you would never normally say, and you'll do some things you never normally would do, but for positive reasons. So God says, I want to give you a fresh touch. I want to get your belly up to the bar and put a fresh spigot of oil in your cup and let that fresh touch from God every morning come under the influence of that, yield to that, and you'll do some crazy things for God. You'll do something like a relative comes up that you actually decide you need to forgive. You'll do something crazy when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll do something crazy like call a friend up and say, I don't know why I'm calling you right now. And they'll be crying because they were just about to kill themselves. You'll do crazy things when you're under the influence of the oil, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, when you're under that spigot. So we all need a fresh touch. Amen? We're almost through. I know you don't want me to stop because it's just so good. You've never heard anything like this in your life, right? Next, now let me conclude with this one. Fresh oil never comes the same way twice. You know, lightning never strikes the same way twice. We expect God's Holy Spirit to move the same way in our life all the time. Guess what? Here's something to learn. He never does the same thing the same way. It's always something new. So expect a new touch, and God will use you in a new way, and he'll bring new people into your life. And just when you think he's coming from the right side, he'll come from the left side and fake you out. Bless his name. Next, fresh oil produces maximum results with minimal efforts. Did you know when you have the oil of God, the fresh touch from heaven? I always say, what can you give yourself to 100%? What flows most effortlessly through your gifts and abilities? What is the easiest thing for you to do? When the Holy Spirit anoints you with fresh oil, you'll get maximum effects with minimal acts. You'll just move your little finger and God will move the world. Let him do all the heavy lifting. But we need a fresh touch, and that's what I'm going to pray for right now. Right now. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that on this day of all days, you would give us a fresh touch. Whatever it means to each of us, our tanks, we get leaky, Lord. We're cracked vessels. Oil evaporates. But Lord, we pray for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, Lord, to illumine us, to give us just enough light to take the next step. I pray for my friends, Lord, that they'll be encouraged, that you're going to touch them in a fresh way. Right now, you've already done it. They're going to go home with their tank full, not their gas tank low and sucking dirt in the line. We are going to receive a fresh touch right now. Our shields are going to be anointed against the enemy's work. I thank you for my friends that are anointed with fresh oil, as David said, and their ministries are going to flourish. Their homes are going to change. Their relationships are going to be new because we are receiving right now, in Jesus' name, a fresh touch from heaven. Do you receive it today? Just say it, Lord. Say it with me. I receive a fresh touch. I'm open to a fresh touch. Do a fresh touch, Lord. Whatever you want, thy will be done. Someone say amen and give him praise.